You're entering the Creative Soul Lab with Shari D. Teigman, resident soul explorer, transformational coach, and sparkle maker. Tune in weekly for a blend of soul chats with thought leaders, entrepreneurs, everyday rock stars, and Shari musings about finding your spark and passion in life and business. We explore how creativity and passion drive success and fulfillment and light up every aspect of who you are and what you do. Welcome back to the Creative Soul Lab. Today I bring you an amazing guest who is a personal and professional friend of mine. Her name is Adrienne Dorison. Adrienne is a high-performance success strategist, speaker, money mentor, and my personal coach who also hosts her own amazing podcast. Adrienne teaches high-achieving entrepreneurs to create the habit of success so they can achieve their goals and find their personal freedom and fulfillment. Adrienne teaches her clients how to overcome the blocks that hold them back, helps them identify what they really want in life, and shows them how to leverage their strengths so that their success and freedom becomes inevitable. Overcoming her own challenges, she developed her own strategy for success, competing as a USA national triathlete, ditching over $45,000 in student debt in less than 6 months, quitting her prestigious yet passionless corporate day job for a life of entrepreneurship, and being a dog mom to not one but two of the sweetest pups. Adrienne is a complete powerhouse, and I am so excited to bring her to you today. Here we go. Today I have my favorite guest ever, even though I just started. I know she's my favorite guest ever. I have Adrienne Dorison here. I gave you Adrienne's official bio, but now you get to hear Adrienne's real life true story and hear a little bit of the amazing tips that she has for everybody about using your creativity to really skyrocket your success. Welcome to the show, Adrienne.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. You're my favorite podcast host now, officially.
There you go. Wow. Go me. That's a big statement. I know. We're both big podcast listeners. Yeah. So, Adrienne, I ran through your regular bio for the audience, but the thing about you is that so much of your magic comes from your personality and your energy and your drive. And especially when it comes to talking about money mentoring and success strategists and podcast hosts, it can sound more masculine and push and hustle and gimmicky for some people, especially when someone rises so fast. My goal today is to talk about the spark inside of you, that passionate place inside of you that everyone can put themselves on a schedule and make themselves do things and, you know, plow through the hurdles like a real athlete that you are. But that's not where your passion comes from. That's not where your success has sparked from. And I'd love if you can enlighten us a little bit about how you balance that athletic push that you have with that. I'm not even going to call it feminine. I'm just going to call it creative magic. How you fuel your life with the mix of those two?
Yeah, so that's a really good question because I never really think about it probably. Well, you know, maybe it's a little more subconscious for me. But I do feel like I'm very masculine in my approach, but I find that other people tell me actually you do have, you know, this softer side that comes out. And so that's always interesting too, because I do have a very masculine, very driven, but it comes from a very generous, soft place. So I think maybe that's where it lightens up.
Yes.
But, you know, my drive comes from my, you know, my wanting to do better in this world. Probably, you know, having a not so great childhood fuels me to create and make myself happy in different ways. And so I think that if you're doing something that you really love, which I've done things that I don't really love, and I've still been able to have the masculine push, but not the like creative energy. So there's definitely a difference there. Whereas now in my business, I'm able to do something I really love, and there is like full alignment between the masculine and the feminine and the creative side, where, you know, I could push. That's just kind of how I am, because of the way I was raised and, you know, not, raised in not a very good upbringing. And so really always feeling like I had to prove myself and had to like be the best in order for anyone to love me. Right. So that is like something I've dealt with as an adult, not allowing that to be the reason I do things. But always feeling like I want to put my best foot forward. And now that I'm in a position with my business, where I can do something I love, that's when the creative energy flows more for me. When I was at a corporate job, I was, like I said, I was a high performer. I was, you know, top performer there, and everyone knew that. But the creative energy was really being suffocated there. And that is super draining. Like, I knew I couldn't stay there for very long because I felt really suffocated in that job. And so there's a real difference when you can feel like you're doing what you're meant to do. Like, it's your calling, it's your purpose. And for anyone who feels like they, you know, I could teach motivation. I could teach people how to set up the systems and structures and things like that, how to goal set and all of those things. But if you're not working on the right goal, then it's going to be really challenging. It's going to be really hard, and it's not supposed to be that hard. It should be pretty simple, but not always easy. So those things are, you know, that was probably a really confusing statement, but
it really makes sense because one of the things, one point that I want to bring up upon what you just said is that you are someone that has always achieved. So, you know, many entrepreneurs have different roads and paths in which they got to where they are to want to start their own businesses. Obviously comes from passion. Sometimes it comes from being fired and, you know, there was nothing else to do. You know, everyone has a different story. But what's interesting about your story is that you were achieving, you were succeeding. Mm-hmm. On paper and on your resume, there should have been no reason why you would jump off the corporate track that you were flying on, mm-hmm. take the risk, especially with student debt and, you know, one of your pillars, which I've known you from the start of this, so it's interesting because you were known as the freeing yourself from debt girl, but it's so not who you are anymore, even after a couple of months, because your story has flourished so quickly. But that is part of your story, is like to hear someone, okay, on paper, they're doing amazingly in their corporate job. There's nothing technically wrong. Wait, mm-hmm. She didn't get the promotion, so she quit her job? No. She wasn't liked at work and she wasn't achieving what she wanted to? No, she was doing exactly what you needed to do. You also, even within corporate, attempted to create an environment where there was creativity. I know you had told me mm-hmm. you had started like a book club. You had started like a forum where there was, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say a complaint board, but trying to open up a conversation between corporate and the minions to be able to personalize and individualize what is going on. And it just shows there was that niggling feeling in you still trying to break out. But that tipping point of just because you're good at what you do doesn't mean it fulfills you. And I think it's so impressive that you weren't a story where you kind of had, you know, although people romanticize it, you kind of had no choice but to go on your own because you didn't fit in with, you kept losing jobs. Mm-hmm. Hear those stories. Mm-hmm. Not that they're not amazing. You know, you have so many people that we listen to their podcasts. They didn't fit in a box. They kept losing jobs. They were in a depression. They picked themselves up and then they changed everything. That's not your story.
No, it's not at all. Like, I was literally, like you said, you know, I was in this new class. I was also in a field where I was one of the only women. And so not only was I one of the only women, but I was performing better than the men. And so they were like, I, that's a win-win for a male-dominated corporate company, right? Like, especially
even
in their,
for them to just admit it, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And like to have that diversity win, because they're, you know, they have to have certain numbers of diversity. And so to have a woman who was also going to perform was like better than the men was like, yes, this is awesome. Right. You know, yeah, I was president of like our young professionals, you know, group. And I started like a book club there. And I actually worked on a retention project the year before, like figuring out why people were leaving and how we could retain them. So I was like really trying, like you said, I was trying to make it a better environment, a better place for the younger people, because I can tell, I don't know if this is true for every corporate company, but most of the ones that I've seen are very antiquated and, you know, they're not keeping up with what millennials, you know, I'm a millennial, they're not keeping up with what millennials want and need and what millennials value. So my values, I felt like my values were being squashed all over the place. And this can be true in a corporate company, but you can also squash your own values as an entrepreneur. And so I think that that's a really important piece of creativity, because when you are squashing your values, like it suffocates you, it sucks the soul out of you. And so I see entrepreneurs doing this to themselves. And so that's not healthy either. But really being in line with your values, and it was a big deal to leave. Like it definitely shocked people. They were thrown off for sure. Because I knew that if I stayed, I could have had one of those like VP positions. I could have been, you know, the division director, things like that. If I waited my turn, right? Like if I waited and
yes.
went through the
quietly
grind,
like a nice little girl, and didn't kick up too much dust. Yeah.
And I was a dust kicker too. I think that a lot of people, you know, appreciate the right people did actually appreciate that. They say that they want you to, you know, say what you think. But then nothing changes. And so that was actually almost more exhausting to be like, okay, you want me to tell you what's working, what's not working? Here it is, right? I'm going to lay it down. I was always very honest with everyone there. And I think that's one of the qualities that I really value about myself. Like I will tell you how I feel. I try to do it in a very, you know, like, I'm not like rude about it, but I do say what's on my mind, especially if it's going to be of, well, I don't say it if it's not of value. I'm going to say it if it's going to be of value to people. And for people to want to hear that and then not do anything was like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Right? Like, right. What's happening here?
Why am I playing a game that I'm putting so much energy into? And it's just, there's like the screen in front, but there's nothing behind. It's almost to keep the minions busy, you know, march you back and forth and move things.
It felt like paper pushing after a while.
Right.
Yeah. So it just, I needed to be of value. I knew that there was more within me, and I knew that I had skills, you know, and I like, not to say that I did not learn stuff at that corporate job. Like I learned a lot of valuable skills being in that corporate job, which I'm very thankful for. But I knew that I wasn't really utilizing those skills in a way that I could to value or to benefit the world, society, other people in general. And so I was like, how can I apply these skills to something else? And so that's what I did in the business. You know, I still use a lot of the skills that I had and developed in corporate and in throughout my college career, but now able to actually feel like they're making more of an impact, which was really important for me. I wanted to make an impact.
Yeah. And what's nice is when you're making your own impact, you don't have to wait your turn to see it come to fruition. And if the impact doesn't feel like what you thought it was going to, you on your own get to change direction immediately, adjust your sales. No, it's not a reflection on you if something didn't quote unquote work. It can stay curious and playful, and that's where your creativity. Okay, even just simply as I put up a Facebook post in a group and I, you know, I thought I nailed it. And, you know, besides the whole copy piece, I just even mean from a passion messaging piece, and no one replied. And so many of us at the beginning kind of look around and go, uh-oh, am I wrong? Am I this? Did I not? And then you sort of learn, it's a muscle that you build and say, this has nothing to do with me. I just didn't speak to them the way they needed to hear it. And then you course correct. It doesn't mean you get a demotion. You don't sit in the corner with a dunce hat. You get to even learn from the quote unquote fails, that you get to learn more about every piece of what you do from day one when you open your proverbial doors, even if nobody knows you're around, is market research. And I've learned that from you, in that when you set a goal and you decide your success is non-negotiable, then the rest is just pieces of the puzzle that get turned and twisted and flipped over in a exciting, curious way, as opposed to one day didn't happen, forget it, I'm quitting, I'm closing business, and I'm going to get a job at the supermarket. It's not about that. Something that I find so many things about you amazing, but something that I find amazing about you is that because of the way that you grew up and, you know, not everyone has an idyllic childhood, since I know you, you don't carry the story of what quote unquote happened, who you were, mm-hmm. what your identity was, what the labels were. It never defines you because you created your own self. And I find that it's probably hard for you because I know how people look at you. You know, we roll in a lot of the same circles and mm-hmm. you are very open and raw and real, which is wonderful. And I know people look at you and say, okay, well, she was successful in less than 8 months because she has Marie Forleo hair. She's so dynamic. You know how it's her hair needs her own Facebook page. She's so dynamic. Everyone loves her. She has it so easy. No. That's not why you're successful. And mm-hmm. on the other hand, you also don't go around boasting about that you're a martyr. Oh, I'm not my story, and talk about your story all the time. How did you develop that inner sense of, I call it like your inner hula hoop? You mm-hmm. have a wireframe of who you are, what you believe, like you've been talking about, what your values are, what you know to be true for yourself and not true for yourself, what you mm-hmm. think is acceptable for you and not acceptable. And you know, you have an athletic background and there's a lot of training and a lot of marching in line and time is what matters. You're a number in a triathlon. You know, there's not a lot of individualization in this, but mm-hmm. you seem to have carved that out given your background, given your path through life. How did you build that while still staying on the track until you were ready to fly?
That's a really good question. I think that is something that I know is happening. Like, I know that people are looking at me and like, oh, she must be perfect, right? Like, that can never be me. And that is totally the opposite of what I want people to understand. You know, I want them to see me as a normal person. That's why I share my debt freedom story, paying off $45,000 in 6 months. That's worthy of sharing because I am normal, right? Like, because that can happen for normal people. And same thing with being able to quit my day job 6 months after starting my business. Like, it's nothing, there's nothing super special about me. There's something super special about all of us, but like, I'm pretty normal, right? I had a horrible upbringing, but it really made me who I am today. And I think if people would start looking at their adversities as their advantages and really learning about, you know, really, I had to dissect what happened to me as a child, because I think that I did carry it with me in different ways for a very long time. I sort of suffocated it, tried to ignore it. It manifested itself in eating disorders for over 10 years, you know, through college, through grad school, like, you know, really negative relationships, that it was manifesting itself in other ways because I wasn't dealing with it. Mm-hmm. And so really, you know, as an adult, kind of pulling back the layers for myself and uncovering what really happened. What did this really mean for me? What does it mean for me now? What does it mean about me or not mean about me? That it had nothing to do with me, right? And for people who don't know my story, it's really all about my alcoholic abusive mother and, you know, the trials and tribulations that happened throughout the years because of that situation. But honestly, you know, when I think about the athleticism and, you know, staying in line and not having individuality, I was always a rule follower, like always. Mm-hmm. And I know that I learned that, like, follow the rules, don't do anything crazy. Because when I was living with my mom, if you did something crazy, like, you were going to get beat even worse, right? So like, stay in line, right? Like,
stay under the wire so you're not,
yes, like, yes, don't be noticed, you know. So I was the person who didn't want to be noticed for a very long time. I was super shy, followed the rules, always followed the rules. And I think that is still part of me. Like, I think I still do follow a lot of rules, but as an entrepreneur, this is where my freedom, my creativity is able to come out, and I'm really stepping more and more into who I am every single day, because like you said, I'm able to make those choices now, and I'm taking on a lot of risk. I think that's something that people are afraid of, and I just haven't been afraid of it because I'm always like, well, what's the worst that can happen? Like, right. I go, you know, get another job.
Right, but it's kind of, I'm not going to say I'm almost glad that you went through what you did, but most people, right. Most people keep themselves in a tiny little container and they're, they view life through that container. It's the glasses in which they wear. It's the little space within which they walk. And then they look out and look at other people living freely, going to the edges of their comfort zone in every direction. And most people watch with gross fascination, not because they don't have it in them. Like you said, everybody has that spark that they can do anything that their minds can dream of, but the availability of trial and error, testing and failing, having their own perspective of themselves, regardless of what happens outside. Like we have a mutual friend, Marie, who always says, you know, standing strong when there's a storm around you and you don't get shaken. That comes from when everything is crap around you. You have no choice but to find where your feet are. You're not relying on anybody else to make you believe what the world is. And a lot of people just stay in their victim story, but there's so much power in the struggle and in those stories that can fuel you to go even higher than people who haven't been through adversity. You know, and I really think you're a shining example of taking it and saying, okay, I really, at this point, I have nothing to lose. The worst has happened in a way. And you also took the reins of, yes, all of, you know, the eating disorder stuff and the athleticism. Those are all following the rules, proving yourself, being the best so that you're accepted. And I think so, it's not a romantic road, but so much of how we find what does work for us and what we do want is by experiencing what we don't want. And so you experienced so much of what you didn't want in terms of obviously your childhood, which was out of your control, then in terms of eating disorders and saying, I don't like feeling like this, and working backwards to do a U-turn and find what you do want. And then you went into corporate, which is the standard good girl, right thing to do. You know, it's not like you took a bad road. And again, you looked around yourself and said, no, this isn't me. You have this inner lighthouse that guides you, and you keep your eye on the prize, and you don't have to know the how. You just know what you want to get to. And then the bridges appear. And I know it all sounds so trite, but it's really true. It's, you become the master of your own story and your own road. And you, when you embrace the freedom in it, the air expands. The space doesn't get smaller. It's you let go of the fear and you say, like you said, what's the worst thing that can happen? You had a good run and then you go find another job. I got to say, you have a lot on your resume now. If you ever need to do that, I will definitely get you the job you wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like for me, that's something that I always have asked myself, like whenever I'm in a moment of fear or like, you know, the unknown. And I, you know, Tony Robbins has a quote that I'll probably butcher, but it's like talking about, you know, true fulfillment and like happiness in your life is when you can be comfortable with uncertainty, because there is so much uncertainty in life and you just have to kind of roll with it. But like I always am asking myself, well, are you going to die? Like if you do this thing, if you take this risk, if you do this thing that you know you want to do, or you have this goal in mind and you're scared about it, I'm like, are you going to die? And this is something like, that I continue to ask myself when I'm feeling those moments of fear, because I'm not fearless and no one is. Like when you look at people like Tony Robbins and Oprah and all the people that have this incredible success, it's not that they're fearless. It's that they're able to ask themselves that question and move forward anyways with what they want. And if you would have asked me 10 years ago, even 1 year ago, if I would be doing this, I would have no idea. And so it's really about setting your sights on that next big thing. What's the next big thing you want to do? And does it feel good? Right? Because when I was, you know, in corporate a year ago, my goals were very different, but then always checking in with myself, like, is this really what I want? And that's kind of happened again and again and again with me. Just, I think I've always been a natural goal setter, but now that I'm able to teach that to other people, it's really powerful. Like just looking ahead, you know, okay, I knew that I was set up in a position where I could have been a huge failure at life. Like if I just would have kept on and using my story as my excuse and things like that, I could have ended up in a way worse position. But I just knew, like, okay, if I can, you know, make that sports team, that'll be my next goal. Or if I can get, you know, these grades and be in this class, or if I can go, like, I really wanted to go to University of Florida. That was one of my big goals. Even when I was in like middle school, I had that in mind. And then guess what? I went to University of Florida, right? So it was like all these small goals that added up over time, and just really checking in with myself with what I really wanted. And those things change too. And I think that it's important for people to know that goals can change. Like, if you would have asked me a year ago, I would have told you I wanted to be a VP at that corporate job.
Right.
But that didn't feel right anymore. So I had to let that goal go and not just try and achieve a goal because it was written on paper somewhere, right? That's not good.
Oh, and I think that's so massive, because our dear Adrian is the only reason I learned how to set goals, because for me as a creative, I used to say to her for months, and she's very patient with me, I don't do goals. That's for like you guys. That's for, you know, those like bang them out people. They make me nervous. I don't like them. And Adrian really helped me explore why. Why didn't I like the goals? Was it the fear that I wasn't going to be able to achieve them anyway? So I was highlighting what I wasn't going to achieve. Okay, well then that's fear. That's not about the goal. Mm-hmm. Was it that they were too big and I wasn't making them bite-sizable? Yeah. Because, you know, you're told to dream big, you're told to set big goals, and then you're left with like this mountain in front of you that you drew on a piece of paper, and you feel tiny, not understanding that from where you are to get to that big goal is where the magic happens. That's where the work is. Mm-hmm. I say work, not meaning hard work, but that's where you get to show up for yourself every day and you get to course correct. And like you said, you also, which you taught me, which I thought this was so earth shattering to me that it took me so long to understand it. And like once the coin dropped, I was like, oh, you set a goal and then you let it go. Because what it does is it sets your gaze further from where your feet are and what you believe your reality is around you to something further. So from a woo-woo perspective, you're giving the universe an opportunity to bring in more. Mm-hmm. And from a practical perspective, you're allowing your mind to let in more. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, if that's where I want to go and it's 8 feet in front of me, I can't leap 8 feet, but I can move my foot a quarter of an inch so that I say, oh, I didn't die right here.
Yep.
Oh, this feels weird. Oh, there's a pothole or a minefield. I'm not going to step there. So I'm going to go 2 inches to the side. And when you said that to me, I didn't understand it, because to me, goal setting people stay with their goal no matter what. And it's you set them and then you let them go because you don't know if that goal will stay. But what setting that goal did was make you make a decision and draw a line in the sand that creates a new reality for you to go towards. Like you said, sure, that was a great goal for you to want to be a VP. Then you uncovered on your way to that goal why that goal mattered to you. You mm-hmm. wanted to be successful. Okay, well, does success only mean being a VP? Or can I create my own success? What does a rich life mean, which is one of your pillars? Does mm-hmm. rich mean I get paid a lot bi-weekly and I sit like a monkey waiting for my check? No, it doesn't. And, you know, when you set those goals and you realize what the drive is behind the goal, why you want that goal, why it's part of that spark inside of you, then you get to deconstruct the pieces of the goal that get you lit up and then go after the pieces. Chase the butterflies that are in the whole jar rather than just staring at the jar and it looking back at you, either scaring you or usually mm-hmm. if you're ready to tackle it, you're also ready for a bigger goal.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really creative way to teach that, because, you know, many of us have the same, I would say most of us have a variation of two piles of books on our proverbial bookshelf. It's the spiritual woo-woo ones of, oh, let go and surrender and allow the universe. And then the rest of them are the push hustle. Here's the 5 quickest ways to make money. Here's how you build your business, the fail-proof way. And neither of them fit everybody. And I think the key is, and you embody this, you live both. Mm-hmm. And just because you always talk about this, you manifest shit all the time. You always have.
Yeah.
But not by sitting back and holding crystals. There's nothing wrong with that. But all the working parts have to be there. You have to set your intention. You have to believe it. I know, you know, you've taught so many of us, and you've even done podcast interviews about podcast topics about this, about what visualization is, what goal setting is, but from an action place, not a sitting back. And if it works, you're awesome. And if it didn't work, woe is me. That's not how things get built.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's also an importance or important thing to note is something that I talk about, the difference between visions and goals, because sometimes we, you know, I want people to dream big. Like when I think of that acronym for goals, you know, the SMART goals that people set, it's like specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and what is it, like trackable or time something, I forget the T, but I don't want your goals to be that realistic. Sometimes I want you to dream really big, but that's your vision, you know, that's your vision that's further out, and then your goals are a little closer to you in terms of time, but then keeping them close enough to you, like you said, and being able to move forward with really small baby steps so that you're not overwhelmed, because that's the one thing I see is people set this huge goal, which is fine. I want you to set big goals because I know that you can achieve them. But then break it down, break it down into like bite-sized chunks that you can take. What's the next most important step, right? Like, what's the next most important thing for me to do? And that's where people fall down and they don't get back up, is because they're so overwhelmed by all the pieces that it's going to take to achieve that goal, or how long it's going to take to be, you know, where they want to be. And it's just, you got to enjoy the journey, right? Like, enjoy each day, each step that you take, that's getting you closer to that thing. And like we said, if it's a goal that doesn't align anymore with the results you want to create or with the life you want to live, let it go. I know a lot of people who won't let those things go because they're like, I wrote it down, I have to achieve it. Right.
That's right. Like- and then they take pride in the fact that they wrote it down. So they get stuck on that part. But I did what I was supposed to. I wrote it down. I'm not flying by the seat of my pants anymore. Yeah. But now you're so locked into that goal, you can't see where else it can take you.
Yeah. Cause things will come up. You have to, like, as you know, as a human, not even just an entrepreneur, like, you have to be flexible for the new opportunities that are going to come into your life. And so if the new opportunities still get you to where, you know, your vision wants you to be, then you have to be able to, like, not be so attached to goals and outcomes, and be able to adjust so that you can say yes to the new opportunities that you want to, and be able to say no to those too. I think that that's also important, being able to say yes and no, and saying maybe no to the old goals, right? And yes to the new ones. So I think that's a big piece that people often forget, is that things change, they evolve, new opportunities pop up, and you have to take advantage of the things that you want to take advantage of.
Very much so. And also, I think that's where the piece of knowing your values comes into play, because you can hold the new opportunities or roads in front of you, hold your left hand and hold your values in your right hand, and keep checking that alignment. And if all the criteria is met, you can take that road. Mm-hmm. But it's a great marker of how you can check in with yourself and not get derailed or say, oh, I saw a shiny object, I went to get it because I like feeling excited. Excitement's great. You have to check in where the excitement comes from. Is it a place of nerves and not knowing what to do, so you have a squirrel mind? Mm-hmm. Or is it, wow, I had a goal of this, but now this new thing is so in alignment with what I want, such a different, exciting road for me. It really can tap into that creative spark and passion in me. Huh, I think I'm going to take that one. And you have kind of like a forum in your mind of, am I safe? Will I die? Once the guard is let down from that, then you have the, you know, you almost like see it as like a conference room in a corporate environment, ironically. It's like you have the passion in one seat, you have the creative spark in another, you have your drive and your motivation, you have the ability to, you have the implementer, the one who actually makes stuff happen, and then you have the values, and then you're at the head of it. And if everyone agrees, then there's no reason not to go with it, because that's where inspired action comes from. That's where the figuring out and the how comes from, when all those pieces are met. And it comes in creative ways because you weren't only looking down at your paper or your mm-hmm. phone, of course.
Yeah, that's so funny that you say that. I love that, because I have this one tool in my toolkit. One is an alter ego, which is a good one, but another one is your counsel. And so your counsel is, you can create a counsel in your mind, like kind of just exactly what you just said, like create a counsel in your mind. This can be of people that are like you, but different pieces of you. Maybe it's part of your alter ego sits in one seat. Maybe your creative energy sits in another seat. Like you said, maybe your motivator sits in another, or you can create a counsel of people that you admire. Like, you know, maybe Tony Robbins would sit on my council, and, you know, Marie Forleo might sit on my council. And in my brain, I go up to that council and I bring this idea or this goal or whatever it is, whatever decision I'm trying to make. And I can bring that to them and we can have a real, like, you know, visualization about that discussion and what they would think about my goal and about the things that I want for my life and which direction maybe I should go, and really getting some counseled opinions, because so oftentimes we're too quick to decide one way or another. And I like making quick decisions. I think that that's a trait of a leader. But you also need to make the good, right decisions for you. And it doesn't have to take a lot of time to go to your council, but just to be checking in. I think that it's a really nice tool to have in your toolkit to go. And they can help you with creative stuff too. They can really help you with anything, your council.
I love that. And it also, because you are this way, I don't even know if you realize how empowering that even sounds. It's like all of a sudden I'm in control of my own destiny, even if it's just in my imagination. You know, your imagination runs regardless. Mm-hmm. So it can either scare the living hell out of you with all the things that can go wrong, which I think is what keeps so many people stuck. But if you rein in that imagination that's wild and going anyway, and teach it new tools to say, okay, if you're going to run the next 3 hours of my mind, let's make it useful, you know, let's make it powerful. And again, you may feel silly, but if you look around and see what you're afraid of, that's pretty silly too. So learning to rein that in, empower yourself by using your mind instead of being run by it, I think is more important than any possible business system you can put in place, because it will always guide you where you need to go.
Yeah. And that's why I talk about visualizations a lot, because I think they are really powerful. And people who think that they're not doing visualizations already are wrong, because what you're probably already visualizing is all the things that will go wrong. So you're actually visualizing all the obstacles, you're visualizing the challenges, you're visualizing yourself failing, you're visualizing all of the roadblocks and things like that. So you're visualizing the negative stuff. And what I teach people to do is flip that around, start visualizing the, you know, what you want it to look like, the dream world, visualize those things. And I have, like, you know, like you said, I did a podcast on this too, your two-part visualization, which I think is really powerful. And just really, like you said, taking, you know, if it's going to run wild and rampant anyways, which it will, and most of your thoughts are default negative. So take some time to start rewiring and doing those positive visualizations, because you are visualizing. Same thing with people who say they don't know how to manifest. Oh, you are manifesting. You're manifesting everything that's currently in your life. Whatever is in your life right now, you've manifested that in one way or another. It's that we want to manifest the things that we want, right?
Yes. People get afraid, oh, well, if I dream and it doesn't happen, it didn't work. So if only we could turn that to our negative imagination and say, I hope this doesn't happen, but we end up creating it because we're so busy focusing on it that we end up making it all those bad things happen because we're so afraid of them.
Yeah. And so it, like, even if, you know, you're not into like the woo-woo, like, or law of attraction, things like that, it's still true, because it, you know, having those negative thoughts, having those negative visualizations that you're doing all the time without even knowing it, it keeps you stuck in fear. It keeps you procrastinating. It keeps you from not doing the things you need to do to actually make the good side come true. And so whether or not you believe in the woo-woo part, you're still staying stuck, which is causing you to not take action in a positive way. So yeah.
Exactly. And it's just, those are facts. Those are universal facts. You can look at it from the spiritual side. You can look at it from a template on your whiteboard side. It's just what it is, how you want to look at it. You know, you can rein it in for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know that I can speak to you forever, but I know you probably have 500 things you need to do today.
No, let's have an all day podcast.
By the way, we both could. And we wouldn't even care if anyone listened. It's called our regular lives.
This is going to be an 8-hour podcast.
Exactly. Would actually tune in, maybe pause us a little bit. What would you say, and I know this seems elementary and it wouldn't be the question you would think I would ask, but you have followers, you're building a beautiful, incredible community of committed, inspired people. What tip would you tell them of how to start consuming and observing and jump into their own version of their Adrian Dorison success story? And you always talk about that. You guide people to their success, not a copy of your success.
Yeah. So their success is really, you know, everyone's success has to be really personalized. And I would tell them to really take time to reflect on what's most important to them. Like if they had one, you know, they had one chance, 1 minute to tell someone, you know, maybe their ideal client, or if they're not even in business, like what is the one message you want to share with the world, right? Like that's your, probably your thing right now that you need to be focusing on and sharing. It's not going to be the same as mine. It shouldn't be. Everything is personalized, but you can create what you want, right? And so really being true to what that thing is and not filtering it for the sake of fearing what other people would say. Because if I filtered myself, I wouldn't be where I am right now and experiencing success, what I think, very quickly in terms of what other people see, because I didn't filter myself. And I think that a lot of people stay stuck in, I can't say that, what will people think? I can't say this, what will people think? And that will kill you. That will kill you. That will kill your business. Because you know, it just gets watered down and people don't really get to know who you really are. And I had this conversation with a client last week because she was afraid. She was afraid to say and use her real voice in certain ways. She was using one half, but not the other half, right? So you have to kind of really be observant of, am I filtering myself in any way with my mission and my message, and really be true to that voice? And the right people will listen, the wrong people will be repelled. And that's exactly what you want. And you have to just not be afraid of those things. You cannot be afraid to repel people. You cannot be afraid that you're not going to be the voice for everyone, because you're not, right? But if you filter it, you won't reach the right people. And so that I think is the most important thing for, being able to be creative. And also, you know, if people listening are entrepreneurs, like really run a business that is going to be successful and is going to be personalized to you, because I teach people how to create their personal success, and it's not mine. It's not cookie cutter. And the truth is, no one can teach you how to do exactly what they do, because it won't work for you if you do exactly what they do. So I think that I would be weary of anyone who's telling you that too.
It's very interesting, because I know we both agree that the lessons you learn in the early stages and even in the later stages of entrepreneurship apply to your life. You end up changing so much as a person when you step into your own self within your business, because it is the same thing. Mm-hmm. You are selling yourself in a way. I mean, people are investing in their own growth, but they're buying your expertise in being the one to be able to help them get where they want to be. So mm-hmm. if you don't go out there and shine as bright as you can, you're neutering your message. And you know how I feel about this in copy, which, you know, I'll talk about in another podcast, but mm-hmm. across the board, if you are not shining, they can't come to you. It's not about, you're not playing a game, you're not lying to anyone, but it's instead of going and chasing your clients, shine brightly, stand in your own power, do your own thing, walk your talk. They will come because people want to be near energy like that. They want to be near people like that because it inspires them to do that for themselves. And that's exactly who you are.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to be really consistent because then, you know, a lot of people will shine and then it didn't hit right away maybe. And then they back off, or they switch their message. They get shiny, you know, object or squirrel syndrome, and then they try to switch it. And I always tell people, like, if you're speaking your truth, if you are in line with your mission and you know that what you're saying is in alignment with what you want to be sharing, and you're really using your voice, you have to be consistent though too. And it's not, maybe not hit the first time, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to work. Right. And I I never got discouraged, and I don't want people to get discouraged in the early stages, because it won't happen on the first try. Some, maybe it will, but it didn't happen on the first try for me, but that didn't stop me.
It's true. And you know what? You learned so much about yourself, and you learned what you didn't want to look like, didn't want to come across. And you know, it's such, especially in an online world, there's such comparisonitis in your personal life on your Facebook page, and even in all the business groups and all the business, you know, watching everyone rise or slip and fall. You're watching everyone's version of what they want to put out there. And we all have to remember that. And I know we've talked about this a lot, is like, when someone inspires you, realize they're in front of you because you're capable of reaching that in yourself. If mm-hmm. someone irritates you, realize that's something inside of yourself that you need to take a look at to know, okay, I don't like the way this person runs their business. So that's a marker for me to know that that's not how I want to speak to my clients. It's not how I want to serve. I don't feel like it's authentic. Awesome. Rather than sitting and wasting your time in hatred and in silly stuff that happens around the water cooler at work, use all of that to fuel where you want to be. Use that to course correct. And I think that really keeps you on course and lets you not get bogged down, lets you not slow down and stop and get caught in webs that you have no interest in being in. That's when keeping your bigger vision in sight and in mind helps you to be able to get where you want to go and not worry about what everybody else is doing.
Yes. Preach it. I love it. Perfect.
Okay. Like I said, could speak to you forever.
I know.
I am going to add, you'll definitely be on again. You have so much amazing stuff coming up. I'm not going to make you run through it, but I will.
You go through my list.
Exactly. Because it grows every day, by tomorrow, it'll be something else. I don't want it to be an outdated version of our podcast. Is there anything that's coming up really big right now that is something you would like on your highlight reel to tell us about? And then I have one last question for you, but I'll let you answer that first.
Yeah. So everyone can find me at my website, adriandorson.com. That's probably the easiest place because there'll be updates of what's current when you're listening to this. I have a really exciting project called the Simplified Success Society. If you're listening in September, it's only $1 to join, which is pretty awesome. And it's like a membership club, but it's a society. So it's a little more exclusive. I like that word better. And it's every single month we're doing, you know, content, 3 Q&As, guest experts, sprints, which is like really working on a specific goal. And you really just have my support and accountability, and as well as an entire group. So that's a really exciting piece. You can go to simplifiedsuccesssociety.com. And that's the big thing coming up.
Love it. Amazing. My one last question. I know you're a reader like I am. I know you probably are reading 5 books at a time on the 10th version of it. What is one book that you would recommend to the audience to get started on finding your way? Would it be a business book? Would it be a thought book? Would it be, let me know what you're, what out of all the books that I know you love, and I know one's probably hard to pick, what would you tell people to start with?
If it's for, I'll preface it with this. Whatever book you're going to read, I want you to master the book before you move on. I think that we have this thing where we just like want to read as many books as possible, which is great, but I really want to get over the constant just consumption and really master something and implement it. And so for me, there was two that I really mastered this year so far, and I've read them probably 7 to 8 times each. And so I'll just mention both of those, and they're more business books. One is The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. That's a book that changed my life because it changed the way I set my day up. And whether you're in business or you're not, this is a really good book to start your day with intention. He talks about visualizations. He talks about affirmations and journaling. And so there is a lot of creativity involved in The Miracle Morning. And so that was a life-changing book for me that I always recommend and promote to my people and my clients. And then the other book that I really mastered this year, which is more masculine, hardcore business, and I was turned off by the title, but I promise it's a really good book, is 6 Months to 6 Figures by Peter Voogd. And I seriously mastered that book. I listened to it so many times over and over. And he has like just really good tidbits in there that helped me become a better master of myself and my business. So those are two that I'm crushing on right now.
Thank you so, so, so much. I will have you on again because you have so much wisdom to give. And as you grow, all of our followers, and I know for myself, I grow with you. So in a couple of months, I know you'll be another version of this amazing self that you already are. And it's just, it's so inspiring to watch somebody take control, take reins of their life and really build their dream and then live it and talk about it and not stand on a pedestal on it. It's just, you're the perfect blend of real and inspiration. And I'm honored to have you in my life. I'm honored to call you my mentor and my close friend. And I just thank you for all your wisdom and your brilliance for sharing it with us all in the world. And I'm so happy your corporate job was as bad as it was, because otherwise we wouldn't have you speaking to us right now. So thank you, corporate world, for destroying Adrienne's dreams.
Well, thank you for having me. And I should have, you know, this is a podcast, so I should have told people that I have a podcast and it's the school.
I'm going to put everything in the show notes, and it'll probably be the longest show notes that I have because Adrienne always has something new up. But Adrienne's podcast is incredible. It's the school of self-mastery.
Yeah. So that's, you know, I should have said that as my one thing, because, you know, you're a podcast listener if you're listening to this. So that makes sense. And it's free. So you can go there too to find me. But Sherry, thank you so much for having me. I'd be more than excited to come back anytime, and we'll do our 8-hour one next time.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Soul Lab with Shari D. Teagman. To learn more about finding your spark and lighting up your life and biz with Shari, come in and join the fun at shariteagman.com.